Welcome to the ministry of Pastor Chris Ross. Pastor Chris has a dynamic teaching anointing, and he is the founder of the very vibrant Breakthrough Christian Church in Cape Town, South Africa. He is a healing evangelist and touches many lives through the Jesus the Answer outreach ministry. Now, enjoy this message by Pastor Chris.
I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church. But now I have a greater passion to love my Lord. God made the sun and the moon and the stars. He is so great, yet He seems so far. When I talk to Him, it seems that He doesn't even hear. How can I love God whom I cannot see? This is my dream, the goal of my life. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more, fall in love with You so deep. Show me how to love You more. I don't want to serve without loving You. Oh, if any man really loves me, he will keep my commandments. Lord, I am meditating on Your word, so I can love You more. And Lord, please help me to keep Your commandments. What have You told me that I'm not doing? Where have You sent me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? I want to sacrifice all for You. Of my heart. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more, with You so deep. But show me how to love You more. I don't want to serve without loving You. Oh, oh God, thank You for loving me first, and also for choosing me first. I want to love You back as hard as I can, 'cause You loved me first. Lord, please help me to keep Your commandments. What have You told me that I'm not doing? Where have You sent me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? To sacrifice all for You, Lord. Loving You with all of my heart. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, the great command. Lord, I want to love You more. show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve without loving you. Oh, I'm getting closer to you. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more. So deep, but show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve without loving you, Lord. Show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve.
I said, BMI, it's time for the word. Are you ready? BMI, are you ready? If you are ready, stand to your feet as we will welcome the pastor and the founder of BMI, Pastor Chris.
Jesus, let us pray. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank You that we can meet here tonight. It's only by Your grace that we can enter here and be here. We pray that we will be blessed with abundant blessings, that our gathering here will not be in vain. We ask that our minds be alert, that our hearts be receptive, so that as You speak to us, our lives will be changed. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Spirit will have His own way. Move amongst us, touch us, affect us, change us. We want to grow closer to God. Oh Lord, help us. Help us in every endeavor of our lives. Forgive us all our sins. Wash us and cleanse us from all our iniquities. We bow down before Your mighty throne, and all the glory and all the praise go to You, for You alone art worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me speak to you for a few minutes about a very interesting topic. Are you ready to hear and learn? I'm amazed at the modern Christian who cannot be strong in the Lord, and that is very easily enticed by the enemy. I'm very surprised at times, specifically with people that have been in the church for a while. It looks like they are saved, they came to give their lives to Christ, but they cannot get rid of their old problems. And tonight I want to give you some keys that will help you. I'm not better than anyone here. It's by God's grace that I stand. But I want to give you some keys that will make you stronger. You must have strong spiritual muscles. If your muscles are weak, you're of no great benefit to us here. You're not of any benefit. And Satan will target you, because any little temptation catch you. So tonight I want to talk to you about becoming more spiritual. Amen? Last week in the other venue, I remember clearly I spoke to you about the 008 agent. And my sermon was called 008, the double agent. I don't know if it's on podcast. If anybody's new here, my sermons are on podcast. If they can advertise my podcast, you can listen to my teachings. And I'll tell you why many Christians are not strong. Besides the points that I've got on my notes for you, is they don't listen to my teachings. Anyone who listens to my preaching and my teaching will have an advantage. Besides the fact that it is a repeat of what I said, there is a special anointing on my teachings. I've said this to you many times. I'm not sure if you believe me. I'm not saying it to sell anything because it's free. We don't sell. We give the preachings free. But I can tell you, if I listen to it myself, I recognize this is not me speaking. It's true. I don't even know what line I'm going to say next on the CDs. So I realize this can't be normal. It is a spiritual thing that is taking place. You know, when I'm preaching, I can speak for many hours, but I won't speak tonight for long. I was there. It is the audio podcast. If you see that, if you have a smartphone, then we will help you after the service. You can just come to the front. There'll be a gentleman here that will tell you how to connect to podcasts. Listen to the preaching. Please, you must hear your shepherd's voice, because many voices will speak to you. And if you are weak, you will hear the wrong voices. Are you listening to me? So listen to this. It will help you. It will make you a strong Christian. You can hear the people who are testifying. They are the people that have listened to me, my preaching and my teaching, and it has helped them. Remember, teaching is very important. The Holy Spirit's primary work is to teach. Is to teach. Is to teach. Hallelujah. We can shout, we can jump, we can run around the tent. It will only make us sweat. It might not change our lives. I like what Bishop Clufio said when he came to visit us. He said, I might talk very softly and calmly, but don't make the mistake to think what I'm saying is not important. He said, in actual fact, it's actually more very, very important. Okay, so turn your Bibles quickly. If you have Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All cell phones are put away now, if it's possible, or off. Especially the young people. We don't want you sitting on your cell phones in the church. Amen. It's a distraction. Distraction destroys the anointing. Just when you need to hear the word of God, some fool will send you an SMS. And it pops up on your phone, and you didn't hear what God wanted to say to you. Are you listening to me? You see, now the cars with a broken exhaust is going to be a problem on the road here. I said this is a trial and error service. So I'm seeing what are the things that's affecting me. And I just heard one of our brothers from Bella pass by here. Jesus. Paul writes and he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babies in Christ. In the NLT, please, sir. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belong to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Every human being is made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Amen. We are made in the image of God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Hallelujah. And one of these three parts will dominate your life. You will either be dominated by the body, which is called the flesh. And then it means you are carnal. And I will explain to you now, what is it like? Because we don't know where you fit in. Number two, you can either be dominated by the soul. That's the feelings. Feelings. Emotions. Then we say you are soulish. Are you learning? If you are dominated by the flesh, you are carnal. If you are dominated by the soul life, mind, will, emotion, you are soulish. But if you are dominated by the spirit world, you are spiritual. You are one of the three. Ask your neighbor, which of the three are you? But don't answer the question. It's just a question. Don't answer the question. The sermon will answer the question for you. Beautiful. Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. And I'm here to declare to you that sitting right here in this tent, they are all three types of people. Carnal, soulish. I won't spend much time on the soulish, but remember, the soulish people, you could almost mistake the person to be very spiritual. Because the soulish life can copy what the spirit life does. You can lift up your hands, you can sing, you can cry, but it's emotions. You sing in the choir, you wear the tie, your Bible is big enough to choke a donkey. But it does not mean you are spiritual. Because we'll be amazed that when you're not feeling well. Now, you see this thing. When Christians start to stay away from the church, then it's some feeling or mood that they had. That's what you call a soulish Christian. I was excited last week. This week I'm feeling down, so I'd rather stay at home, you see. That's what we call a you are saved, but you are soulish. Are you listening to me? All right, now, it is much better to be a spiritual Christian than a carnal one. It is even better to be spiritual than soulish. And it is better to marry a spiritual Christian than a carnal Christian. It's much easier to live with a spiritual person than to live with a carnal person. If I must ask you to put up your hands now, it will embarrass your partner, so don't do it. But I'm sure, put your hand up in the spirit. And many of you will say, yes, it is true. I live with a carnal person or a soulish person. Today she loves me. Tomorrow she hates me. She's governed by her feelings. Today she smiles. Tomorrow she's sad. Hey! What a shock. It's a shock, yeah. And feelings are dangerous. That's why when people like this church, you see, I mean, many of you that's visiting for the first time, your impression will be, this is a nice church. And we want you to be here, and say, but we are not very, very impressed with your feelings. Because we've seen before people who say such nice things about the church, and then it wasn't really deep from the spirit. It was only the feeling. Say, oh, pastor, what a wonderful church you got. And then not long, then they've also moved on. Mercy. I don't want you to be like that. I want you to become steadfast. Immovable. Deep. Have roots that can't easily be blown away. Amen. So it is important to move over and make every effort to come out of carnality and become a spiritual Christian. Amen? You must make a movement. It's a migration. You must move from one level to another level. Leave the carnal life behind. Becoming more spiritual. Hallelujah. And when I mean spiritual, it means you are influenced by spiritual things. And your spirit man is more developed. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life. But to be carnally minded is death. Look at it. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. No, put it in the King James quickly. For to be carnally minded is death. You all see? I said you all see? I think Colibus people is infecting the other people here. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen? So who wants to be spiritually minded? Who wants to be carnally minded? You see, it's death. But spiritually minded is life and it is peace. Hallelujah. And here are some keys quickly before I close that will help you to become more spiritual. Number one, become a spiritual Christian by praying often. Say, Pastor, I want to become spiritual. How do I do it? Number one, pray more. Pray often. Actually, pray every day. We used to sing a chorus in the Sunday school. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. You know that one? Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you will grow, grow, grow. And you will grow. Grow, grow, and you will grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow. Jesus said, pray lest you fall into temptation. I'm explaining why you are falling into temptation. Are you listening? You know your own life. You know what you are busy with. Nobody knows you. You look nice in the church. But you have a private life. And in your private life, there are things you can't master. It looks like the devil kicks you every time in that same thing. And Jesus is saying, pray. Pray. Lest you enter into temptation. When I counsel the young men, you know, men have a problem with lust. You know that I've told you before, isn't it? A normal man, he normally has an eye for more than one woman. But it's not spiritual. That's not spiritual. That's carnal. In the world, that's your life. But when you become a child of God, you need to pray for the Lord to keep you from browsing around. Your eyes must be on one woman only. As difficult as she will become. Rather keep your eye then on the cross. Nowhere else. Are you listening? And the same with the woman. Rather keep your eye on the one man. As difficult as he will become. If your eye should move from him, then it must be on the cross. Not on another person. Are you listening? In the last days, the devil is affecting many marriages and many unfaithfulness is happening. It's your carnality that makes you unfaithful. If you pray more, the Lord can help you. Now, I've arranged something here on Thursday that we call From the Porch to the Altar. I've tried to include the people in the evenings, but it won't work. So, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock, we'll be here. Whoever is off from work, whoever is at home, come and join us. I didn't have a venue to do it, but since God has blessed us with this venue, I said, I won't delay. Because I promised God, as soon as I can have a venue, I'll do the 7 hours of prayer from 10 o'clock the morning till 5 o'clock the evening. It's like you go to work, you work for a few, we are coming to work. Our work is prayer. Let the priest weep, Jeremiah. between the porch. Find that scripture for me. The guy says, is Bevan or who's at the back? Between the porch and the altar. Porch and altar. Search for it. I'm helping you. I'm giving you opportunities to pray. Especially you that struggle with your carnal sins. Come here. Join me. But I'm doing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm including Saturday for those that couldn't make it Friday, Saturday. You can come. If you can come only for an hour, come. If you can only come for 30 minutes, come. It's no problem. We'll be praying for 7 hours. There'll be music like this over the speakers. And we'll be praying. Now and then I'll be saying a few things and then we'll be praying. We'll be lying. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. And give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. The heathen won't rule over us. And you will not be a reproach. The people won't look down on us any longer. God is going to lift us up. Hallelujah! A light is going to shine on all of you. And the people won't even recognize you. God is lifting us. I said, God is lifting us. And our enemies will be ashamed. Every man of God that goes forward has many enemies. Jealousies, envies, malice. But our enemies will be put to shame. Hallelujah. That the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? We're coming here to weep, to pray. I'm excited about it. And it's prayer and fasting. So you must eat before 10. Eat your duck. All my Xhosa speaking people, now and then I'll throw Afrikaans in, but I won't speak long in Afrikaans. I come back. Because when I say eat your duck, it means eat a lot of food. Some people can't stay long without food, you see. But we're going to teach you, it's fasting and prayer. So in other words, from 10 o'clock till 5 o'clock, only that space you don't eat anything. Before 10, you can eat, and after 5, you can rush home before you die. It's not that bad, you know? It's not that bad at all. But it's how we do it. It's how we do it. I'm excited for it. I'm sure the working people are jealous that they are in chains with Pharaoh, you see. They are captured by Pharaoh. But we'll be here. So you can maybe come an hour, half an hour, whatever. You can come and go. I will be here. Me and Jerome will be praying. Jerome already started his own prayer meetings here. Last night while his security guard in the tent. He's preaching, but there's nobody in the tent. He's preaching to the chairs. But he's practicing. Amen? Are you excited about the prayer? Because I realize we are too carnal. There's not enough prayer going on. And it's important that we pray. Because prayer will keep you falling away from God. Say amen. Amen. Because this is a fact. Anybody you spend time talking to becomes close to you. Just when you fall in love, like this couple just got married, they will tell you that you want to phone your beloved every day. When I was a school teacher, I got a post in Upington, far from Cape Town. And this was my beloved. My one and only. There's no sunshine when she's gone. But almost every day, she phoned me. Every day we spoke. And I think it was important because we are far. But the constant talking kept us close. Hey! I don't know. That time there was no cell phones. So I don't even know, how did it work? How did you know I'm near the public phone? Where I was staying on a hostel, there was a public phone. And she phoned me every day. And then later she said, my parents are complaining about the phone bill. You see, love is blind. But the more you talk to someone, the closer you get. That's why it's dangerous for married men to talk a lot to other women. It's not that you mean anything, but it's a natural fact. The more you talk to someone, the closer you get. You see? This morning I was rebuking some Christians. The cell phone is one of the biggest problems for me. This chat thing. Let me rebuke all of you as your father. If you are married to a woman, you don't need to chat to any other woman. Nonsense. I counseled 4 men this week that have this problem. Their wives say they are in the bed next to me chatting to another. I said, what? Are you out of your mind? Hey, brother. If it's work-related, I mean, then you shouldn't be hiding anything. Your wife can see your phone. It's an evil that has come into this modern church. It wasn't in the days when I was a young man. It's a new thing. Hi. Hi back. What's a hi? Hi's in the ocean. And our young girls, you're not supposed to chat back to married men. It's an evil. I have to speak about it. Otherwise, you keep doing this nonsense. Leave this chatting. Are you lonely? Why do you need somebody to chat to? Speak to your wife. Speak to the children. Or speak to the dog if your wife is not talking to you. Talk to God and get closer to God. Talk to God and get closer to God. Whoever you talk to a lot, you'll get closer. Now you see, when people start affairs, it didn't start like that. It was just a chat. Just a chat. But the more you talk to someone, the closer you get. That's why prayer is getting closer. Lest you enter into temptation. Bishop Dagg, my pastor, he tells a story that he normally prays for an hour every morning. And he said this one morning, he woke up early and he started praying in tongues. And he thought he was going to pray again for an hour. But it was almost like the Lord didn't want him to leave the prayer closet. And he said he prayed for 3 hours. And he prayed in tongues. But he said the tongues grew strong. And he wondered why. And later in the day, he met a strange woman. You know what's a strange woman? These easy girls, they will easily sleep with you. You get such women. I never thought they are around, but I also discovered they are true. Hey. And he said the woman came to tempt him. And he knew that that prayer in the morning was to strengthen him to resist this woman. You know, sometimes men can do some foolish thing just for a few minutes and his whole marriage is messed up. He didn't mean it, but he was too weak. He was a carnal Christian. He's not spiritual. I always tell my wife, nobody make advances to me like women. Then she says, no, they do, but you just don't see it. She says, it's the fuck. Because I'm spiritual, you see. I don't look for such things. Hallelujah. So we're going to spend time with God. Hallelujah. If you don't spend time with God, you drift far away from Him. We tell our boys in the morning when we come to work here, we have our little quiet time first, or our little session. Then we ask everybody, did you have quiet time? What did you read this morning in the Bible? What did God say? Everybody. In the beginning, none of them had. And every day, as I came to ask them, they started doing it. Then they say, I read this verse. Okay, I read this verse. What is God saying? I'm helping them to become spiritual. I told you, Mama, send your boys here. They can all sleep there. I will help them to become spiritual. You see? Speak to God. Speak to God more. Pray more. It is one of the first and most important keys on becoming spiritual. Hallelujah. Now, it's not easy to pray. But if you come here, I will teach you how to pray. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are you here? Between the port and the altar. Who thinks they can come and join me here? 10 o'clock, Friday, Thursday, Friday. God bless you. Hallelujah. All right, now, number two. It is that you can become spiritual by seeking the will of God. Seeking the will of God. I'm almost finished. Are you still around? In 1 John 2 verse 17 says, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. He who does the will of God abides forever. Only spiritual people seek the will of God. People who are not spiritual, they are not concerned about whether they're in the will of God or not. They just want what they want. And they chase for that thing, not asking, is it the will of God? Look, I could have built a church anywhere and I could have bought property somewhere else. But I needed to ask the Lord, where do you want me to put a church? I want to be in your will. Because if I'm in God's will, I will live longer and I will live better. Because God's will is always better than your will. You like this girl, but is it God's will for you? Some of you are living terrible lives and relationships because the woman you took was not God's will for you. It was your own desire. Samson saw a woman and he wanted her. And the father said to him, but Samson, remember God said, you shall not take a woman from this people. He said, just bring her to me. She pleases me well. And Samson took a woman out of the will of God. And it was the end of his life. And then he also met Delilah. May you not meet a Delilah. She will make you lie in her lap. And she will make a piece of bread out of you. Our young men must be careful. You that's going to become preachers and pastors, don't fall easily for the strange woman. Are you listening? Because once the strange woman takes away your purity, she has made you a piece of bread. I said to a young man, if you mess with girls, it's not easy to preach from the platform. Because when you're preaching and you are walking and you see, but it's the girl that you are messing with. I mean, you will suddenly forget the words that you have to say. You will become nervous and you say, let me not go to that stage again because somebody there knows about me. You see what the devil does? He bombs your ministry. He throws a bomb. Finish. You say, let me rather go to Uppington or to the Doorings where nobody knows me. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Learn not to have a strong desire for anything in particular. You can like many things. You can like cars, you can like sport, but let it not be greater than God's will. Don't like it too much. Are you listening to me? Be careful that you are in the will of God. It's the will of God is so important. Do not sacrifice your spirituality for human desires. Number three, become spiritual by having a good conscience. Now, I'm explaining to you quickly what is a good conscience. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, the Bible says, hold faith and a good conscience, which some of you have put away concerning the faith and have made shipwreck. And then he mentioned the names of these people, Alexander and Hymenaeus. I gave them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. What is your conscience? Ladies and gentlemen, your conscience is the voice of your human spirit. Inside of you, everyone has a little voice. Where if the girl says, come, then the voice says, don't go there. That's your conscience. Your conscience prevents you from doing wrong. Are you listening? Are you here? Are you going home? And if you want to be spiritual, you must become sensitive to the voice of your own spirit. If you drown the voice of your own spirit, the less spiritual you will become. And a good conscience is necessary to keep you spiritual. If you see somebody's money fell out of his pocket, your conscience will tell you, pick it up and give it back to him. If you start to become a thief, you just say, ah, die Here het weer geseen. Maybe it's the Lord that is giving me money. Because your conscience is not helping you. The small voice is not speaking anymore. You're starting to do wrong things. And this is what happens. You know, if you work hard, like here on the site where we work with wheelbarrows, your soft hands later becomes hard. It's called callus. Your feel is hard. Now, your conscience is like, your spirit is soft. But afterwards, if you do the same sin over and over again, it becomes hard. You almost don't feel it's wrong anymore. So if you are chatting with another girl, like I was talking about, your conscience will tell you, this is wrong. But because you do it so much, you think it's not wrong. It means your conscience has become hard. Hard. And the Holy Spirit can't speak through you to your conscience. Die ding is verkeerd. Stealing is wrong. This friends is wrong. This type of groups is wrong. It's your conscience. It's telling you. I must go to church. No, your conscience says, okay, sleep, man. The Lord has given you grace. Mercy. Yes. It's the better part of you that tells you not to do the wrong things. May the Lord make your conscience always soft. Amen. So when you are also so hard, you listen to the gospel many times. I say, come to Jesus. I've heard this before. Now, this is the thing. You can become so hard in your conscience that you actually know what pastor's going to do next. He says he's finished preaching. Now he's going to make an altar call. Now he's going to do this. Now he's going to... But you are not even moved anymore. You say, this is for them, it's not for me. One pastor asked another brother, if you die today, will you go to hell or to heaven? The brother said, I'll probably go to hell, but I also don't care. It means his conscience is no longer pressing him. It's become callous. May the Lord give you a soft heart. That when you do wrong, you see, David had a soft heart. So when he made the mistake with this woman, he was crying before God. Where other people keep lying. Het jy dit gedoen? Did you do it? No. Hey. Okay, number five. I'm closing. What is it, number four, number five? Are you learning something? I want you to move from carnality to spirituality. I'm tired of having carnal people around me, and I also don't want to be carnal. Help me, Jesus. Now you can also become more spiritual by having a regular fellowship. Don't stay away from church. The Bible says in Jude 19, these are they that separate themselves. Sensual people, they have not the spirit. Don't separate yourself from other Christians. The best example is a fire with many coals. If we take the coal away from the other coals, it will start to not glow red hot anymore. It will start to become dimmer, dimmer, and then it gets black, and then eventually it dies. The secret of becoming spiritual is to have regular fellowship with the believers. Don't have too much time for useless socializing. This is a new word I'm teaching you. Say after me, useless socializing. And you know what's the two main things you can do to have useless socializing? The telephone and the television. My pastor taught me this, I'll never forget. He said, useless socializing are the greatest enemies of prayer. The telephone and the television. You got to put that off. Spend time with God. Amen. So, number four, you must mix with other believers. Hallelujah. And you will stay on fire. Number five, my second last point. I'm almost done. Are you here? You can become more spiritual by not keeping company with sinners. I spoke to a young man the other day, and he said that his wife accused him of something that was on his phone. And he said, no man, I'm in a chat group with my old friends from school. And these guys, they send these dirty pictures, you see. So it just landed on my phone because I'm part of that chat group. And I said, why do you keep company with sinners? Why? You can't use that as an excuse because you are still locked into that thing. I'm helping you. Why you can't become spiritual? You are in the wrong companies. You must separate yourself. Are you listening? And then you can't get the wrong picture by mistake. And even you let your small children play with their phones. They also see these naked pictures. Forgive. They separate themselves. Don't keep company with sinners. Proverbs 22 verse 24. Make no friends with an angry man, because you will also become angry and furious like him. You will learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. This is a proverb that helps us to understand, whoever you walk with, you will become like that person. Amen? And because you walk with unspiritual people, that is why you are also unspiritual. What are you listening to? Who's your friends? Show me your friends and I'll show you your character. These are basic elements that you do not apply, and it's the reason why you are on the carnal side and not on the spiritual side. Amen. And the last key, become more spiritual by walking in the truth. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14. Stand therefore and gird your loins with truth. Truth is a big part of spirituality. A spiritual person is a truthful person. I said a spiritual person is a truthful person. Every time you tell a lie, you remove part of your spiritual protection, and therefore you become less spiritual. If you want to be a spiritual person, walk in the truth. John said in 3 John 1:4, I have great joy, no greater joy than to hear my children walking in the truth. Because lies are a principal character of Satan. Satan is the father of all lies. And anytime you walk in lies, you walk in the shadow of your father. So Christians, stop lying. Stop lying about who you're chatting to on your phone when your wife is asking you. Stop lying when we ask you why you never came to church. Stop lying. Every time you lie, you bring yourself under the cover of Satan. In John 8, it says, He's the father of all lies. You will not know what lies does to you. My mother taught me never to lie. And when I told a lie, she would tell me to go back and to go and tell the people that I lied. Bless her soul. She helped me to stay clear from demon activity. You know, you get Christians that lie so much, you can't even believe it. They lie in your face without blinking. No, Pastor. I get so mad when people lie to me. You see, I can help many people, but don't take me on a wild goose chase. Tell me the truth. Then I know what your problem is and I have a solution. Or I can find a solution in the Word of God. But you keep lying. Say, brother, why did your wife put you out? I did nothing, Pastor. Say, Lichman! Stop lying! Now I'm giving you the keys to becoming more spiritual. It's not very sophisticated. It's simple things. Love the truth. I always tell the story. I want to tell it again as I close. There was a woman that a man of God prayed for. She kept disturbing the service. She kept disturbing the services. While he was preaching, she stood up. You know, in some churches, people can just stand up and say prophecies and prophecies. And everybody had to be quiet when she spoke. But she did it every time when the preacher was preaching. And this one pastor who came there, he was a great man of God. He recognized that this woman, this is not the Spirit of God. Because every time when the people are preaching, she gets up and she starts saying, "Thus says the Lord, blah, blah, blah." And he said to her, take this woman out, take this woman out. Strong, he was strong like Pastor Chris. We need soundproof. And then, when he came to the back to where she was, she looked at him like this. She lifted up her eyes. She had eyes like fire. And she said to him, "Why do you quench the spirit?" But because he was spiritual, he recognized that this is an evil spirit in this woman. Sometimes they camouflage, then they look like godly people, but they are demons. Demons hide in the church. Be careful who you're sitting next to you. You never know. You never know. You're a Jesus. Jesus. Listen. And what he did was, as he said to him, "Why do you quench this man?" He rebuked the devil in her. He said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out." And the demon threw her down. She started shaking and foaming at the mouth. And later, as you know, sometimes the demons are so strong, they speak through the people. Like it can be a woman and it's a man's voice. Yeah. So the demon was speaking to the woman. And then he asked the demon, "You can speak to the devil." You know that. Jesus spoke to those demons in the madman of Gadara. And they said to him, "Chase us into the pigs." He said, "Okay, go into the pigs." So he asked this demon, "How did you get into her?" And the demon said, "Her belt of truth was loose. And it was an entry point for me to enter her life." She tell lies. People who lie, you open a door for devils to come into your life. Be honest and truthful. Don't lie. Then you will shift from being carnal to becoming spiritual. I gave you 6 keys. What was number 1? Pray every day. What was number 2? Seek the will of God. Ask God, is it your will? Sometimes you run here, you run there, you want to buy this, you want to buy that. Say, "Lord, is this your will?" Number 3, Have a good conscience. Have a good conscience. We all make mistakes, but we can say sorry, Lord. Have a good conscience. Number four. Have regular fellowship. Don't stay away from church, okay? It's a sign that you will go down. Number five. Don't keep company with sinners. And number six. Walk in truth. Are you going to become more spiritual? Stand to your feet, everybody. Stand to your feet. Bow your heads in prayer. Don't walk around. Don't talk. Don't disturb. Don't distract the spirit. Don't be carnal. Tonight, before I let you go, give me 5 more minutes. I want to pray for some of you. But you see, even for you to come stand in front is not easy. It needs a conscience, a soft conscience. And you need to know the truth. The truth will set you free. So you say, Pastor, help me. I want to be more spiritual. Pray to God to help me. I want to be more spiritual. Come forward and I'll say a collective prayer for all of you. And maybe it's the point where God sees you, sees your movement, and something great is about to happen in your life. Step out right now.
Come away. Let your heart and mind be still. Let your empty cup be filled.
Come and spend some time
with me.
And come away. Come spend some time with me. Come away.
Let your heart and mind be still. Let your empty cup be filled.
Come and spend some time
with me. Come away.
They're still coming.